Bible reading this evening is in Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 17. 22, 12 through 17. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, whosoever love and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 12 through 17.
There will come a time when there won't be any more invitations of the Lord. The time for inviting will have passed. The time for accounting will be present. We take this time to extend what we call the Lord's invitation. I wish in some ways that we could do more than invite, but that's all we can do. God's Word is designed to persuade. We invite obedience. And certainly that's in order as we read in the New Testament. That's what Jesus and the apostles did. In Matthew's account in the 11th chapter in verse 28, Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord invites folks to come to Him, to learn about Him, to take upon them the responsibilities of obedience, the responsibilities of discipleship. In Acts chapter 2, when the gospel was preached for the very first time, those Jews, having been indicted of the guilt of their crucifying the Lord of glory, they asked, What shall we do? And Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He went on to tell them, For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. With many other words, therefore, he testified and exhorted, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked or this perverse generation. Now, the Apostle Peter, nor the Lord, walked about with a baseball bat forcing obedience. But they invited obedience. They persuaded obedience. They extended invitation after invitation. And what was read in your hearing just a few moments ago from Revelation chapter 22 is just that. It is indeed an invitation. In verse 17 of chapter 22, the text says, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And he that heareth, let him say, Come. And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take the water of life freely. Persuasion is an interesting thing. All one can do to persuade is to present evidence, to appeal, to plead with. And that's what the invitation is about. Tonight, as frequently we do in extending the Lord's invitation, it's an occasion to do just that. I don't want to use this time necessarily to go into a rather lengthy exegesis of the primary purpose of the book of Revelation. That's not why we're here tonight. It's not our purpose here to examine the 70 weeks of Daniel 9 or to engage in some detailed, lengthy study. It's to take a few moments to try to persuade one who is contemplating obedience to the gospel to complete that obedience, to persuade one to do what he knows he needs to do. As we extend the Lord's invitation, this text reflects an understanding of Christ's return. Look at your Bible. Revelation 22, verse 12 says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, one who is willing to accept the invitation of the Lord does so with an understanding that Jesus is coming." In Acts chapter 1, in verses 9 through verse 11, as the disciples saw Jesus ascend into heaven, the text tells us in verse 10, "And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven.'" Now, perhaps I'm talking to one tonight who understands fully that Jesus will return. In the text of Revelation 22, verse 12, he said, "Quickly," that is, without delay or with assurance, "Jesus is coming." Do you believe that to be so? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading beginning at verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 9. Paul writes, "Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day." Paul's referring to the day of the Lord's return. The Lord is coming. And we use that as a persuasive tool to try to encourage someone to obey the gospel. When Jesus returns, He will return to judge all men. Look again at the text of Revelation 22. In verse 12 He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to each man according as his work is." Now there are numerous passages that help us to see that the judgment will be individual and that the judgment will be determined by the things that you do, whether they be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 is one of them. Romans chapter 2 helps us to see that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of power, wealth, prestige, whatever you might have in your arsenal, the Lord's is bigger. There will be no partiality with the Lord. In Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, Paul writes, "Who will render to every man according to his works. To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory rather and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God." Doesn't make any difference who you are. You'll be judged by the Lord when He comes. There won't be any partiality. Now, beloved, in view of that, we offer the Lord's invitation. And friend, that demands a response. Either to obey or to put Him off yet a bit longer, which is to choose to disobey. The invitation of the Lord is based upon who Jesus is. Turn again to Revelation 22. Picking up the reading at verse 13, John writes these words, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Well, who is Jesus? In verse 16, he continues, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Who is He? He is the eternal God. He is forever the beginning, the end, the starting and the finishing, the Alpha and the Omega. In Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 8, that same terminology is used to describe God Almighty. That's who Jesus is. He is the one who is to come. He is the one who will judge the world. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Creator. He is the one who consummates all things. In John 1, beginning in verse 1, John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He said all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. In Him was life, and the light was the light, or life was the light of men. In the reading of this text, consistent with Colossians chapter 1, He has preeminence in all things. He is the giver, the creator of all that is. And when we think about who Jesus is, who is He? Well, He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. The Messianic prophet, Isaiah, spoke of the coming of one who would be of the root or the offspring of Jesse. We see that that is identified as Jesus the Christ. He is the bright and the morning star, as we turn to Luke chapter 1, in verses 76 through 79. Luke says, in the quotation of this Old Testament prophecy, he said in verse 76, "Yea, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to make ready His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people in the remission of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us to shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." Who is that? Well, the quotation is used here in reference to the coming of Jesus of Nazareth. In John chapter 14 and in verse 6 it is, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Who said that? Jesus did. Now, beloved, when we extend the Lord's invitation, it's an effort on our part to persuade one to understand who Jesus is. And consequently, you need to obey the gospel. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And in view of who He is, we need to respond in obedience to the gospel. When we extend the invitation, it's an exhortation for man to obey in order that he might be saved. Turn back again to Revelation 22. In verse 14, an interesting text, it said, "Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life, and may enter in by the gates into the city." Blessed are they that have washed their robes. Who are they that have washed their robes? Those who are obedient. These are those who are blessed. These who are obedient have the right to the tree of life. Turning back to chapter 22, verse 1, "And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river, and on that, was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more. And the throne of God and the Lamb shall be therein. And His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be a night no more. And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun. For the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Here we see a beautiful picture of where the tree of life is. Where is it? It's where God dwells. It's where the Son dwells. The picture is to draw us a very vivid scene of heaven itself. Now question, who is it that has the right to partake of the tree of life? Well, those who are obedient have the right to come to the tree of life and to partake of it. Verse 14. As you turn in your Bibles and read further in this text of Revelation 22, in verse 15 it says, "Without are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and murderers and the idolaters and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie." What does that suggest to us about those who are disobedient? Those who are disobedient are not permitted to enter into the city, not permitted to partake of the tree of life. But those who are cleansed of sin enter into this eternal city. Now, what must we do in order to prepare ourselves for that? Randy's favorite text, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Who receives that privilege? Those who are obedient to the gospel. We learn in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verses 8 and 9 that Christ is the author of eternal salvation to them that obey Him. Now, we can't overestimate that, can we? Those who have the right to partake of the tree of life, to enter into the city, must obey the gospel. Now, beloved, in view of the blessings of obedience, we must offer and respond to the gospel invitation. That's why we extend it tonight. The gospel invitation. The invitation warns those who are outside of Christ of the eternal consequences. Look again at our text, Revelation 22. Verse 15, without are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers, the idolaters and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. Beloved, that list is not intended to be an exhaustive list, but we do know that there is a day of wrath that is coming. In Revelation chapter 2, preceding the verses that we read a few moments ago, beginning in verse 2, the writer says, and we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, when we look at that passage, we understand that God is very merciful. But we also understand that God is a God of wrath and a God of righteous judgment. We read a few moments ago from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, regarding those who do not obey the gospel. How that they will forever be separated from God and from those blessings to a place of eternal punishment. Now, in view of that, my friend, we offer the Lord's invitation. The Apostle Paul, in writing to those in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 11, said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. How can we be quiet knowing these things? Look further, my friend. We offer the Lord's invitation because the invitation offering salvation is something that's always available. As you look at the text once again in Revelation 22, read with me verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take of the water of life freely. From this passage, we see that the invitation offers salvation. Salvation is always available. God and His saints appeal to those outside of Christ to come. In this text, come. Those who are thirsty, let him come. In John chapter 6, Jesus identified Himself as the bread of life and invited those of that audience to come and to partake of Him. In John chapter 7, in verse 37, Jesus identifies Himself as the water of life. In verse 37, it says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He offers bread. He offers water. Our text said, if any man is thirsty, let him come. Let him drink. Paul, in writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 10, in the familiar text, beginning in verse 13, declared, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? What we learn in this passage is that in order to believe, one has to be taught. In order to obey, one must understand the things that he's taught. But as we look at this passage, not everybody obeys. Not everybody accepts the Lord's invitation. There are those who reject it. In Romans chapter 6, again, the familiar text of verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul asked the question, Know ye not that you're the servant of the one that you choose to obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and becoming free from sin, you've become servants. Servants to whom? You've now subjected yourself to Christ. Servants of righteousness. Now, in view of the constant availability of salvation, we take this time to offer the Lord's invitation. In fact, beloved, every time we come together, we offer the Lord's invitation because it's our desire to see you obey the gospel and enjoy the blessings that are afforded in Christ. Now, my friend, when we think of the invitation, let us see it as an appeal. The Apostle Paul, writing to those in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, declared beginning in verse 20, We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ. As though God were entreating by us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. In many studies in times gone by, we've tried to define that word, beseech. It literally means to beg someone, to plead with someone. When the apostle, writing to these in Corinth, said, On behalf of Christ, we beseech you, we plead with you, be reconciled to God. Now, my friends, in view of the things that we've talked about tonight, knowing that Jesus will return, knowing that one of the purposes for which He will return is to judge all men, and that that judgment will be without partiality. Knowing that Jesus is the beginning, but He's also the end. He's the one who brings to consummation all things. Knowing that He is the Savior, the only Savior. There is no means to come unto the Father except through Him. Knowing that obeying the gospel offers us hope, and there is no hope outside of Christ. Knowing that separated from God, there is nothing but eternal doom that lies ahead. Knowing that the Lord's invitation is extended to make salvation available to you even tonight. Would you obey Him tonight? Paul said, We beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. We plead with you tonight. If you're not a Christian, to obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, why not turn from your sin in repentance? Confess your faith. Be baptized into Christ. Perhaps I'm talking to someone tonight who has obeyed the gospel. But you're not faithful to the Lord. You're not faithful to the Lord. Nobody knows that any clearer than you do. You can fix that tonight. You don't have to leave separated from God. We beseech you tonight, accept the Lord's invitation and be reconciled to Him. If you be subject, make your way to the front while together we stand and while we sing.